We are on the second, third, and beyond. Chav Dalet Amid Beis, second of the wide lines, the really wide lines in the bottom. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hayim Ahalich B'Mavos, Hamitu Nafos. A person is walking down a road and he's going to encounter excrement and urine. And the question is he allowed to recite Kriyat Shema? So Rav Yochanan is quoted as saying, Meniach Yado Al Piv. He covers over his mouth and sort of like underneath his breath, Korei Kriyat Shema. He's allowed to read Kriyat Shema. The Gemara is going to have a lot of problems with this. The Rambam holds in Hilchas Kriyat Shema that even within four amos of the Tzoa or of the Meraglayim, this is Rav Yochanan Shita, that it's mutter. And the question is, why? And Rav Chisda, for one, gets very upset about this. Now keep in mind that you'll find poskim in Arachayim Simen Pehei that Meniach Yado Al Piv means that he reads Kriyat Shema in such a low voice that it doesn't appear to anyone like he's reading Kriyat Shema. However, others interpreted that the reason why he should cover his mouth is because that makes a chatzitza, a separation between his yad and the tzoa, and therefore he's allowed to read Kriyat Shema even b'kol ram. Whereas according to the others, they would say, no, he has to read it in a low voice, so nobody should see that he's reading Kriyat Shema. Nobody should hear it. Amalei Rav Chizra. Rav Chizra says to Rav Huna, Ha'elo Kim, which is Nishba Ani B'Shvua, Lashon Shvua, Im Amrali Rav Yochanan B'Fumei, even if Rabbi Yochanan would say it to me face to face, Lo Tzayina, Lo Tzayisna Le, I would not obey this ruling. Because I am convinced that when a person reaches a Makom Metunaf, he has to be Mafsik, he's not allowed to recite Kriyat Shema. He could be Amri according to a different version, Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Amar Halach Ben Vos, Hatunu Metunafos, Meiniach Yado Al Piv Kari Kriyat Shema Amalei Rav Chisda Elokim Imamorali Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi Befumei Lo Tzaisin Allah Le. So whether it's Rav Chisda rejecting Rabbi Yochanan or Rav Chisda rejecting Rabbi Yehuda, he says it's impossible. Now the Gemara says Umi Amar Rav Huna Hachi, and is it possible that Rav Huna actually quoted this Allah in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that a person is allowed to read Kriyat Shema in a Makom Metunaf? Vamar Rav Huna, Talmud Chacham Asul Olamod B'Makom Atinofes. A Talmud Chacham is not allowed to stand in a place where there's Tzoa. Lefishi Efshal Olamod B'li Hiru Torah, because he's always constantly thinking about Torah thoughts, and he's not allowed to think about Torah thoughts in the proximity of Tzoa. Now, this principle of Efshal Olamod B'lo Hiru Torah means a kind of a chazaka that a Talmud Chacham is always thinking in Torah. And there are stories about Reb Chaim who turned to Reb Moshe and he said, out of the clear blue sky, what are you thinking about? And Reb Moshe says, I wasn't thinking about anything. So, well, not exactly that, but anyway, Reb Chaim says, what do you mean a Talmud Chacham is always Maharab Torah? That's the definition of a Talmud Chacham. He's always thinking in Divrei Torah. Wherever he goes, whatever he does. So now he shouldn't be hanging around in a place where he's not allowed to think about Divrei Torah, or Mokum Tinofes. In any event, Kol Shekein, how much more so is it clear that you're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema in Mokum Pinofis? If you're not allowed to be Mahar, then certainly you're not allowed to read. So how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan or maybe Rabbi Shimon Levi would be Matir allowing you to read Kriyat Shema in Mokum Tinofis? That's impossible. Lo Kasha Khan, when Rav Huna said that you're not allowed to be Mahar in Divrei Torah, that's be Omed. That's in a person who's not walking through a Makom Amituna, but he's actually standing there. In a sense, there's a certain permanence to his location in the Makom Amituna. But Khan, when he says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you're allowed to read Kriyat Shema, that's a case of Mahalik. That's where he's walking through a Makom Amituna. And the Rashba points out that since we derive from the Pasuk Mahoya Machnecha Kadosh, we're talking about a Machne, we're not talking about a place where you just simply pass through. But Enochinami, if he's Omed, then when he stands, then a radius of four amos around his body in a stationary position is called Machanecha. Mahalech, that's not considered Mahalecha, that's not a Makom Kavua. He's just walking through there, he's passing through there, and that's okay. It's not a violation of Ohe Machanecha Kadosh. The Gemara now goes back and asks a question on the statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Miyomer Rabbi Yochanan Alchi. Could Rabbi Yochanan allow Heter Kriyat Shema to read Kriyat Shema to Mahalich, even if he's walking through a Makom Etinofus? Omer Rabba Barbachonim Rabbi Yochanan, Bechol Makom Mutal Har B'Divrei Torah Chutz Mi Beis HaMerchatz U Beis HaKisei. Now Beis HaKisei here is certainly a Makom Etinofus. And yet, Rabbi Yochanan is quoted as saying that you're not allowed to be Mahar B'Divrei Torah. So how could you recite Kriyat Shema in a Makom Etinofus? And if you'll answer, as we saw earlier, Hachinami Kan Be'omid, V'Kan B'Mahalech, let's differentiate between someone who's standing, which gives it a certain permanence, and then for sure you're not allowed to be Mahar in a Beis HaKisei, but the Heter that we saw in Rav Yochanan, that you're allowed to read Kriyat Shema, that's the case of Mahalech, he's walking through, he's passing through, he's not permanently stationary there, ain't he? Is that really a good answer? Don't we have a statement of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yochanan holds Mahalach is mutter? Well, look at the story Alach Lamaisa, Rabbi Avo, Havika Ozel Basri, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avo is following the footsteps of Rabbi Yochanan, Havika Kori, and Rabbi Avo is reading Kriyat Shema. Ki mata bimvoas hametunafos ishte. Rabbi Avo, when he came to a place where there's filth, he would be quiet, he'd be silent. Amale. So Rabbi Avo turns to Rabbi Yochanan and says, Lehechana hader, to what point in my Kriyat Shema should I return, now that I'm no longer in a Makom Metunaf? Amale, imshahisa, kidei ligmaras, kula chazor l'rosh. It all depends on how long you were delaying, you stopped in this interruption in the middle of Kriyat Shema when you got into a Makom Metunaf. If you were there and delayed yourself for a period of time, which is Kedei Ligmar Skuli, could have read the entire Kriyat Shema, then that's called a Hefsek. It cuts the connection between the beginning of his Kriya and the end, that he would be Kori from now on, and therefore he's got to go back to the beginning. But it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan holds that even in the case of Mahalech, because this is the case that the Brice is addressing, is you have to stop from your Kriya. Now, whether or not you're allowed to pick it up where you left it off, that depends on how long you were mafsik. But it's a case of how you mahalchim, and nevertheless, he had to stop. He was enjoined from reciting Kriyat Shema. So how could that jive with what Rabbi Yochanan was quoted as saying before, that all he has to do is cover his mouth, continue reading Kriyat Shema, and everything's fine? Hachi kamar. So Gemara now rejects this proof from the Maisa of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Avo, because this is what Rabbi Yochanan was telling Rabbi Avo, Lidi Dilo Svirule. I have no problem. I don't think that because you are passing through a Makom HaMetunaf, therefore you have to be mafsik from your Kriya. From my perspective, all you have to do is cover your mouth and read. And not only that, I don't even agree with you that if you are mafsik today and you delayed kidei ligmas kula, that you have to go back to the beginning of Kriyat Shema. But you know what? This is the way I'm going to paskin for you, because you asked me the question. You were asking me about lechatchila lididach. According to you, the svirlach, you hold the shita that you have to be mafsik between kriya b'mavos hametunafim. And that's called a hefsek. And therefore, you don't have the possibility of reciting Kriyat Shema during this time that you're passing through the Makomos HaMetunafim. And now we can decide whether you're not, how long of a hefsek was a hefsek. And that's why I told you that according to your shita, that you're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema in a Makom HaMetunaf, and therefore you had to be mafsik. Then I answered you that if you are mafsik kedei ligmar es kula, chazor l'rosh, you have to repeat Kriyas Shema, excuse me, from the beginning. And in truth, Rabbi Yochanan argues on two points. First of all, he makes a distinction between Omed and Mahalik. In Omed, you're not allowed to be Mahar B'divrei Torah and certainly not read Kriyas Shema. But in the case of Mahalik, it's okay. And all you have to do is cover your mouth. What would be in a case of a hefsek, I don't think Rabbi Yochanan would even be bothered by a hefsek. As long as you aren't mafsik b'dibur and so forth and so on. Now, let's bring two brisos, one that's an oseres, one's a matira, with regard to kriyat shema demakom mitunav, to bring proof for Rav Huna. Tanya gavosi de Rav Huna. Then there'll be another brisa which is against Rav Huna. But what's the brisa that we're going to quote for Rav Huna? Well, first Tanya kavosi de Rav Chizda, and another brisa which is going to support Rav Chizda against Rav Huna. You're not allowed to be kore kriyat shema b'mokom ha-metunav. So Gemara now goes into detail. Tanya kavasi the Rav Huna, we have a brisa that says amahalich b'mokom ha-metunavim meiniach yodo al piv v'yikra kriyat shema. While he's walking in this mokom ha-metunav, all he has to do is put his hand over his mouth. That reflects exactly Rav Yochanan's opinion as quoted by Rav Huna. But Tanya kavasi the Rav Chizda, hayamahalich b'mavos ha-metunavos, is lo yikra kriyat shema v'lo od elishim hayakori ba posek. You're not allowed to start kriyat shema, and if you start a kriyat shema, you have to interrupt your kriyat shema because you find yourself now mahalich b'mekomos hametunafim. So this machlokas between the two prices is identical with the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Chizda. The Gemara now tries to explain the ksuvim, the psukim, for someone who is not posik b'kriyat shema. Again, all that we're about to learn now reflects the shita of the second brisa, that which supports Rav Chizda, that b'makom ha-metunav, you have to be mafsik, you have to be posik, even in the middle of kriyat shema. And the Gemara says, lo posik mai, amar av miyosha bar rebreid Rav Yeshua ben Levi Olav, hakosav omer, gamani nasati lohem, chukim lo tovim, mishpatim lo, yichyu bayem. This is a posuk in Yechezkel, which is a little bit of a paradoxical posuk, insofar as God is saying, I gave you chukim, and what's going on? Lo tovim? And I gave you mishpatim lo yichyu bayem, you won't be able to live by them. But the answer is, it's all lahem. That's where the emphasis here is, that these chukim are not tovim lahem. They are tovim objectively in and of themselves, and therefore they're called chukim tovim. But ani, nasati lahem chukim lo tov, means those chukim tovim are not good for them. They will be punished in terms of those psukim. For example, if someone is kori kriyat shema b'mokom ha-metunav, he's going to be punished for the kiyum mitzvah because it's considered an avera. Hence, the pasuk says, "O yichyu b'hem," you'll be punished in this kiyum of kriyat shema b'mokom ha-metunav. Again, the question is, how do we know that this pasuk is related, is interpreted in terms of kriyat shema? So Rashi says on this pasuk, back in Yechezkel, he says, "Masartim biyad Yitzram li kashal be'avonam." Now, what does that have to do with kriyat shema? Where do we see a remez in this pasuk in Yechezkel to kriyat shema? Seems to be a far off allusion. Now, perhaps the answer lies in the statement of Rav Asi, because Rav Asi is going to quote a different pasuk, and maybe that interpretation will shed a light on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's interpretation of the pasuk Gamani Nasati Lechem, etc. Rav Asi quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu Anovi Perkei. It says, "Hoy Moshe or Moshe Ha'avon Bechevle Hashav." At the end of the pasuk, it says, "Uche Avos Ha'agala Chata'a." And this means that the people bring upon themselves averos, like rope she'enam oven that aren't thick. Their rope that's very thin, shenochim lisnatek, it's very easy to rip such a chut, a chevel. V'chein, and there also, if a person reads Kriyas from Bokum and Tunaf, he's going to get a light punishment. And this is a result only of his dibur, and it's dibur only. So he's called Moshe Avon b'chavli Ashav. He brings upon himself an aver with chavolim sheinim avonim of him, excuse me, and he reads Kriyat Shema b'makom ametunaf. In both these cases, the onesh is relatively kal, because all he's guilty of by reciting Kriyat Shema b'makom ametunaf is dibur. And if he's only guilty for contaminating his dibur, then we could say in such a case that his punishment is relatively light. Rav Adi bar Avamar Mihochi had a different verse that would serve as a source for this very same halacha of terminating your Kriyat Shema in a makom metunaf. And this is a pasuk in Bamidbar regarding an idol worshiper, Bemezid. He's really a L'shem Shemayim idol worshiper, and he does it deliberately and publicly with a lot of fanfare. And the pasuk says, Udvar ki dvar Hashem baza. And then the pasuk ends, Ves mitzvosai, Hey fair, he karis tikaris anefeshahi avona ba. So this is a reference to a person who reads Kriyat Shema and Mokom HaMetunov, and he's mevazet dvar Hashem, to be zoyt dvar Hashem. He should be punished with karis. V'imposak ma'ischaro. Okay, we see how severe the Torah's punishment is for someone who recites Kriyat Shema and Mokom HaMetunov. But if he went ahead and did so, I'm sorry, if he went ahead and terminated his Kriyat Shema, what reward will he get? Om Rabbi Yavo, Olava Kosov Omer, Ubidvar, Ubidavar Hazei, Tarichun, Tarichu Yomim. That because of this dibur, that you were careful about speaking in a Makom HaMetunov, that is a great accomplishment. That Bozeh, that only if a person is careful not to read Kriyat Shema b'makom metunaf or something similar to that, then tarichun yomim, he deserves this great fantastic reward of arichus yomim. And just like if he's not mafsik, as we saw he was punished with kitzur yomim, here just the opposite, since he fulfills this requirement and he's not, or he's not only is he not going to read in a Makom HaMetunaf Kriyat Shema, but he's also mafsik, then zochel arichas yom. It's interesting how many different views the Gemara quotes to support Rav Chisda against Rav Huna in the name of Rav. Where do we leave Rav Huna in the name of Rav? Om Rav Huna. Here we are two lines up before the end of Chav Dalet Amid Beis. His talus is tied around his belly and it flows down to the bottom half of his body. His mutalikros Kriyat Shema, even though the top half of his body is exposed, nevertheless he's allowed to read Kriyat Shema because his erva is covered. That's called taliso chagur al mosnov. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have another braisa to support Rav Huna. Hoisa Taliso Shel Beged Shel Orf Shel Sak Chagura Al Mosnov Mutal Likros Kriyat Shema. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have another braisa like Rav Huna. Hoisa Taliso Shel Beged Shel Orf Shel Sak Chagura Al Mosnov is Mutal Likros Kriyat Shema. Now it's really interesting here because Taliso Chagurlo Al Masnov sounds like he's covering only the bottom half of his body and not the top half of the body, which is something that we have to think about. And all that, as far as Kriyat Shema is concerned, Avol L'Tfila, this is the top of the Chaf Hei Min Aleph. If you're standing Shmone Esrei, you're not allowed to daven Ad Shechases Libo until he covers his lev with a beged, and only then can he stand in Tfila as an Omed Lifnei HaMelech the Ema. So that according to this statement in the Braisa, we see clearly that as far as tefillah is concerned, we have to have an upscaled requirement of makom mechubad. And not only that, we have to make sure that there's no nakedness, and we have to cover our bodies. And we're being more machmir in tefillah because of lifnei Hashem, you're standing in front of the Shekhinah, than we are in the case of Kriyat Shema. Achichas libo in tefillah, but you don't need that in Kriyat Shema because he's not omid lifnei Hashem in Kriyat Shema. The Bach in Or Chaim Siman Tzadi Aleph says that Olav lisnai ki'ilu omid lifnei HaMelech, though he's not standing in front of the king, but he has to behave as if he were standing in the cave. It seems that he has to cover his body according to the Bach's understanding, not just his lev, but all the parts of the body that are normally closed, covered. So although the Gemara only mentions ad shiachase es libo, singling out his lev, but in truth, this brisa is worried about any part of the body that's normally covered. And if it's exposed, that's a real problem for tefillah. You have to cover that part of the body, and not just the lev. The reason why the brisa only mentions the lev is because, says Rabbi Yonah, the lev is the aver hanichbad mikulam. It's the most esteemed and revered organ in the human body. Al kein roi shiye mechase mechusa b'yis ha-tefillah. The lev should be covered at the time of tefillah. It should not be libo roa es ha-erva. The Rambam in Perek Dal Milchus Tefillah says that this din is l'chilo, he shouldn't be mispalel if it's libo roa es ha-erva, but b'di'evid, if he already davened and he covered his erva, even though he didn't cover his lev, then he was Yotzi Dechovasa, despite the fact that it's Libo Roesa Erva. Now we said we could be more Mekil in Kriyat Shema, because Kriyat Shema is not Begeder Omeid Lifnei HaMelech. Now, this concept that you have to stand in front in Tefillah as if you were standing in front of the king, and therefore you have to cover your body, this applies not just to the lave, but also to the entire body. Shechasa kol gufo. And even though the Tan of the Brisa says at shechasa libo, once we interpret it as gufo, then it's the entire guf. So even though, again, as we said earlier, the Tana only mentions that Shechasa Libo, that's because at the beginning of the Braisa, when he's talking about Kriyat Shema, he doesn't have to be Mechasa his lev. But when it comes to Tefillah, is Ad Shechasa as Libo refers not just to the lev, but to cover any part of the body that's normally exposed. And now we're about to embark upon the sugya of makom tsoa. And we're talking about back in the old days, they didn't have that many sophisticated bathrooms like we have today. And the issue was with what's called a beis hakise, whether it's beis hakise kavua or aroi, whether it's reflected this distinction reflected in the Tanakh itself. All this, Yemir Hashem, will be addressed in the next year.